as a benefit and meritorious, skillful way to make this day truly auspicious. For those of you who would rather take the five precepts or feel you can't manage the eight, then follow me with the eight on the third precept. When I say a brahmacharya, which is to refrain, a total abstinence, to refrain from any kind of erotic activities today. For those of you who can't refrain, then say to yourself, Game Sumichajara, which is a layman's, a family, householder's commitment to a proper way of life with one's wife and husband. Then the last three precepts, just refrain from taking them in regard to eating, not eating a meal in the afternoon, or the long precept of refraining from pleasurable entertainments, and the last, at the eighth precept, of not sleeping in luxurious accommodation. I really want to encourage this commitment to precepts, because this is a very important way to establish oneself in the path of the Buddha. Because without a moral commitment and a determination to live within in this restraint, then there's no way we can really benefit ourselves or anyone else. We tend to just cause increasingly more problems, disruptions to our own lives as well as our families and the society we live in. Also, the dana, the giving of the food, the katina ceremony, the whole day is one of generosity, of a commitment to a high level of moral integrity, and then the reflection, we'll, after the precepts, we'll do the paritta chanting, which are the wise and auspicious teachings of the Lord Buddha in the Pali language. So when we start this chanting, for those of you who do not, who have not heard Pali chanting before, the idea is just to calm down, concentrate your mind, and to really try to just be with the sound, the peaceful sound of the chanting of these wonderful teachings of the Lord Buddha.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
Buddhang saranang gacchami.
Buddhang saranang gacchami.
Dhammang saranang gacchami.
Dhammang saranang gacchami.
Sangkhang saranang gacchami.
Sangkhang saranang gacchami.
Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami.
Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami.
Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami.
Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami.
Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami.
Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami.
Tatiyampi bhutang saranang gacchami.
Tatiyampi bhutang saranang gacchami.
Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami.
Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami.
Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami.
Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami.
Ti saranakkhamanang nititang.
Ame akhante.
Banadibata veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Banadibata veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Hadinadana veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Hadinadana veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Abrahmacharya veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Abrahmacharya veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Mutavadha veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Mutavadha veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Sura meraya machabama tatana veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Sura maya machabama tatana veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Vikalaporchana veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Vikalaporchana veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Najakitavatita vitsukha dasana malagantha vilebana tarana mantana vipursana dhana veramani sikabadang samadhiyami.
Naja ke va ti ta vi su ka ta sa ma phi na ton kha khe na thar na mon na vi phu sa na tha na ve ra mya ni se kha pa tyang samadhiyami.
Ujjhasayana mahasayana ve ra mani se kha badang samadhiyami.
Ujjhasayana mahasayana ve ra mya ni se kha pa tyang samadhiyami.
Imani atta se kha badani samadhiyami.
Imani atta se kha badani samadhiyami. Imani atta se kha badani samadhiyami. Imani atta sikha patani samadhiyami.
Silena sukha tinyanti, silena poka sambadha. Silena nipu tinyanti, dasma silang vitsotaye.
Sathu, sathu, sathu. Patipahaya sabba sampatti siddhya sabba dukkha vinasaya parittang bruhi mangalam. Vipatti patipahaya sabba sampatti siddhya sabba droga vinasaya parittang bruhi mangalam. Vipatti patipahaya sabba sampatti siddhiya sabba baya vinasaya parittaṃ bruhi mangalaṃ
Sampadahang dan Tejasa Tejasa
จายเสติโหตุสัพพันดารายาจวินาสัมเมตุสัทธัมมะเทนะสุขตานุโคโยโลกาสัพพาภูภะกิเลสเทนะสันโดสยังสันตินิโยจะโคจะสวะกันตันธรรมวิธิทางการุทิสังฆังวรันทังจิรสานมามิพุทธานุพุทธังสัมมาสีลานิสิงทานเดชะทาเดชะยะเสติโหตุสัพพันธรายะจะวินาสัมเมตุอัปปมาโนธัมโมอัปปมาโนสังโฆปมานวันตามิสิริงสัพพานิยะหิเวชิกาสันตปาทิปุณณานาปิสรภูมิสิกากัตถามิราคากัตถามิปริตาปัตถิกัมมันตุพุทธานิโสหังนะโมภะคะวะโตนะโมสัทธังสัมมาสัมพุทธังยัง
จินจิวิตตังอิ
ทัวะหุรังวาสะเกสวายังประจำนังปณิตังนันโนสัมมาทิฏฐังทางคเดนะอินทังปิบุตเตระจำนังปณิตังเทนะสาเทนะสุวาทิโหตุขยังวิราคังอมกังปณิตังยถาจะคาทักยมุนีสัมมาหิโตนะเตนะธัมเมนะสัมมาทิฏฐิเทธัมปิธัมเมระจำนังปณิตังเทนะสาเจนะสุวาทิโหตุยัมพุทธเสโทปริวัตนยิสุจิงสมานิมานันตริคันยมาหุสมานินาเทนะสัมมรณเวชคติเอตัมปิธัมเมระจำนังปณิตังเอเทนะสาเจนะสุวาทิโหตุเยปุคะลาหะดัสสัทธาปัสสัทธาญาณทานิเหตานิยุคานิโหติเตทากินายาสุขทาสสาวกาเตสุทินนานิมหาภลานิเหตังปิสังเครตนังปณิตังเตนะสาเจนะสุวาทิโหตุสุภโยธามนัสสาทาเลนะนิคามิโนกอดัมมะสาสัมมันนิเตปาฏิปาทาหมะกังวิกายหลานธาโมทานิพุทธิงพุทธมานาหิธัมปิสังเครตนังปณิตังเตนะสาเจนะสุวาทิโหตุกินนางโบราณนางนวะนาทิธัมภวังเวราตเจตตายติเกสมิงเทคินนภิชาวิโรลิจันทานิพันธิธิรายะทายัมปณิพอหิธัมปิสังเครตนังปณิตังเอเทนะสาเจนะสุวาทิโหตุสัมมาสัมพุทธวิชชาจรณะสัมปันโนสุขโทโลกวิทูอนุตตรโรปุริสธัมมสารทิสันทาติวะมนุสสานังพุทธโภควาทิสวาคาโทภควาทานัมโมสันทิติโคอังคาลิโคเหหิภาสิโคโอภนัยโคภาจาทังเวทิดาโพวิญ โยหิติสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีติปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติทังจาริโพธิสายุคานิยานทัพภูริสัมพุทธาลังสัมภควันโทสาวกสังโฆหาหุนายโยภาหุนายโยทินายโยอัญชลิขารณิโยอนุตตรังปุญญาเทตังโอคาสาสิสัทธาวุฒานดังคิริเมฆารังอุทิตาโครัสเสนมารังทานาลิธรรมวิจินาทิทวามุนินโทธานเตชะสาภวันทุเตนายมังกลานิมาราธิเรกามภิโยจิตาสาภาระนิงโครัมปนาลวะกามคัมมันธาทายาคังทิสุทันดาวิทินาทิโตวามุนินโทนันเตชะสาบวันทุเตชายมังกลานิลาคิริงคชาวรังอธิมันทพุทธังทาวังคิจังกรรมสันนิสุทารุนันดังเมธังพุทเสขวิทินาทิโตวามุนินโทเทชะสาบวันทุเทชายมังกลานิทิทาคาคามนิหันทสุทารุนันดังทาวันนิยอยชนะบันทังมาลาวันดังอิทิปิสังคตมโนทิทวามุนินโทนันเตชะสาบวันทุเทชายมังกลานิกัตโตวานังคาตมุทารังภิณียาจินจายะทุตวัจนังคณกายมัจเจสันเตนะโสมวิทินาทิตวามุนินโทสันเตชะสาบวันทุเทชายมังกลานิจังวิหายมัติสันจักวาจเกตุงวาจาภิโรภิธรรมนังอนิยันตพุทธังปัญญาปฏิปัจจลิโดจิตโวามุนินโทสันเตชะสาบวันทุเทชายมังกลานิโทปนันดาพุทธทางวิพุทธังมาเหติงพุทเทนะเทระพุทเทนะธัมมาปยันโทอิทุปเทสาวิทินาจิตโวามุนินโทสันเตชะสาบวันทุเทชายมังกลานิกาหานิทิพุทธเกนะสุทานทหารทางบางวิสุทธิจุติมิทิภาคาภิธานังญาณังคันเทนะวิทินาจิตโตวามุนินโทตันเนชะสาทุเทชายมังกลานิเอทาภิพุทธชายมังกลาหะตะคันโยวาจโนทินาทิเนสารเทมาทันนิหิตวานันเนกวิชานิจุพานทวานิมรคังสุขังอนิกมายนารสปัญญโยทินทายะสัมปภานินังปุริทวาภารมีสัมปปาโทสัมปนิมุตตมะเอเทนะสัจวาเจนะโหตุเตไยมังกลังชยันโทโกฏิยามุเลสักญาณังนันติวาสะโนเอวังกวังวิชโยโหหิทายาสุทายมังกลังอัปปราชิตาบาลังเยสิเสปทา วิโพธิเถอภิเษกเทสะพระพุทธานะภาคาบัญโชบะโมทานิทุนังคานะสุมังกลังสุปปาดังสุหุทิตังสุขโนสุโมคุณโดจะสุเยทังรามมาจาริสุปทาคินังกายกามังวาจังมังบันทาคินังบันทาคินังมโนกามังบันิเทแตคินาบันทาคินานิกาตวานาลาภันดาเทบันทาคินเนสัพพังหังราคันตุสัพเทวตาสัพพุทธานุภาเวนะตถาสุทิภวันตุเทภวันตุสัพพมังคลังราคันตุสัพเทวตาสัพพธัมมานุภาเวนะตถาสุทิภวันตุเทภวันตุสัพพมังคลังท่านทุสาบันเทวันทาสาบาสังฆานุบาเวนะสันทาสุนิบาวันทุเท
สาธุสาธุสาธุอุตตมังเกนวันเตหังปัตตปังทรงวโรตตมังพุทธโยคะเลตาโตสาวพุทโธขมาโตตังมะมังอุตตมังเกนวันเตหังทวมังจะทุวิทังวรังทวมเมโยกาลิตาโตสาวธรรมโมขามาโตตังมะมังอุตตมังเกนวันเตหังสังขังจตุวิทุตตมังสังเคโยกาลิตาโตสาวสังโฆขามาโตตังมะมังยังกังเจกสลกรรมังกัดตาเปียงเกเรยังเมียเมียกาเยนาวิจามนัสสาสกตังกตังเยสัตตาสัญเยโนอัตถิเยจัสัตตาอาสัญเยโนกตังปัญญาพลังไมหังเปเพียกิภวันโตเตเยตังกะตังสุวิติตังตันนังปัญญาพลังมาเยเยจตัสนาเจนันเตเตเวกวันตวานิเวตยุงเปโลกัมมะเยสัตตาชีวันตหาเรเหตุกามะนุญญังโพชฌนังเปเลพันโตเมเมเจตสาธิ
At this time, the monks and nuns and anagarikas will go on their alms round and collect their food in the back room here, and then everyone else will have a chance to get some food themselves and share in the meal. After the meal, at 12:30, we're going to have the circumambulation, hopefully if the weather allows, outside. And then the circumambulation will bring the katina cloth. They'll take the katina cloth around three times around the Buddha Rupa in the courtyard, and processing into the sala here when it will be offered to the Bhikkhu Sangha. And then at that time, Ajahn Sumedho, about 1 o'clock, will give a talk, and everyone is invited to to be here for that. If you think your children will be making too much noise and would like them to be outside somewhere, there will be a creche and activities for children in the Rainbow Room on the far left-hand corner of the courtyard. So please feel free to encourage your children to go elsewhere so that everyone has the opportunity to listen and pay attention to the talk by Ajahn Sumedho. One critical point is after the monks and nuns have taken their food, it's important that everyone just please be still for about 5 minutes while the food is redistributed so that there's some food on the servery here and some food in the back room. So after the last Anagarika has gone through, there are about 10 lay people who will rearrange the food. And if everyone could please just sit still for those 5 or 10 minutes while they do that, then we'll let you know when it's all ready and people can then get their meals as well. When the monks and nuns start to go through, they'll need to just make a little bit of space for them to walk down the sides, but I'm sure that it'll all make sense when they start moving.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
Imang Khonte, Sapare Warang, Katina Jevara Tusang, Sankhasa, Aono Jayama, Satuno Khonte, Sankho, Imang. Sapparevarang Gathina Jevara Tusang Padikon Hato Padikahetwa Jaimina Tusena Gathinang Atharetu Amhakang Dikaratang Hetaya, Sukhaya, Tutiyampi, Tatiyampi, May we, Venerable Sirs, present these robes, together with the other requisites, to the Sangha. So please, accept these robes, and other requisites from us for our lasting welfare and happiness.
This Katina cloth and all the present offerings here belong to Mr. Tan Nam and all the faithful and generous lay men and lay women who have gathered together for this occasion. This offering is being made to the Sangha of bhikkhus who have spent the 3 months rains retreat in this monastery. This katina cloth has come in as pure and unsolicited a way as if it had been wafted here on a breeze and settled in the midst of this assembly without favoring any bhikkhu in particular. However, the Lord Buddha has made a provision whereby the Sangha can agree to nominate one bhikkhu to receive the cloth. This bhikkhu must be one who knows the rules and observances concerning the katina ceremony according to the terms laid down by the Lord Buddha, and he must be one who knows the aims and purposes of the Lord Buddha's teachings. He should be pure in moral conduct and have the mindfulness and wisdom to be able to understand the Dhamma in all its aspects. This then is the bhikkhu who can fulfill the Lord Buddha's stipulations concerning the offering of the katina. And now, this assembly of bhikkhus must come to a unanimous decision as to which one of them is best suited to receive the katina cloth.
This katina cloth and all these offerings have been considered suitable for the Venerable Intavero. He is a bhikkhu of mindfulness and wisdom and can perform the katina ceremony correctly according to the way established by the Lord Buddha. If any bhikkhu here disagrees, he should raise his objections now in the midst of this assembly. If everyone agrees, then they should express their agreement by saying sadhu in unison.
Bhadi Dhamma.
Sang Rakantu Sabha Devata Sabha Dhammanu Bhavena Sadasoti Bhavantu De Bhavantu Sabha Mangalang Rakantu Sabha Devata
At this time, we're going to prepare for the talk that Ajahn Sumedho will give. The monks and the nuns and the Anagarikas don't need to stay, and that would actually help free up a bit of space for more people to get in a bit closer. And if at this time parents would like to send their children over to the Rainbow Room, it would, particularly those children who are a bit itchy to run around, they might not like to sit still for another hour while Ajahn Sumedho is giving a Dhamma talk. So please feel comfortable knowing that there are some adults over in the Rainbow Room looking after children. And if you'd like to go along, one of the parents to help with that, that would be useful too. But it's quite good not to have children who are making a bit of noise, disturbing the people next to them, because Dhamma talks are things that not everyone gets a chance to come to the monastery that often, and so we want to give everyone the opportunity to take advantage of sitting quietly and reflecting on Dhamma. So we'll spend about 5 minutes just rearranging things here, and then Ajahn Sumedho will give the talk.
Aham pati katanjali anti warang aya jatha son tetha sata parijakha titika desto thamang anukang pimang pacang.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. Venerable Bhikkhu Vilananda, Lumpo Chan, Bhikkhus and Samanas, ladies and gentlemen, this is indeed a wonderful day, an overwhelming response to this annual ceremony here at Amaravati. Has been commented on, we need to expand the facilities. It keeps growing like this. I remember when I first came to England, you get 15 at a meeting, and that was a crowd. then when we moved to Chithurst, we thought we were building the shrine room at Chithurst, and we thought, oh, that's a nice big room. And the night that we had our first meeting in that shrine room at Chithurst, I suddenly realized it was already too small. That was about 9 years ago. But this is all very good to see this interest, and to me this is a very moving ceremony because it is where we all come together. The people, the Asian Buddhists from Sri Lanka, from Cambodia, Thailand, Laos, Burma, and along with the Europeans. And this shows, this is like a sign for the future of a common ground, a transcendence of the cultural conditioning, all our patterns of thought, education, attachments to ethnic customs and traditions, because we're all here for the same purpose, to express our devotion, our respect for the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. Or, in English words, for those of you who don't quite see the significance of those words, for wisdom, truth, and virtuous conduct. We're living at a time where virtuous conduct needs to be emphasized over and over and over again, because the problems of our society faces is due to a lack of commitment of humanity toward the five precepts, the Panchasila. This is an absolute necessity for humanity to consider and live their lives guided by those five precepts if we expect to live very much longer or develop any decent way of cooperative sharing according to the teachings of the Buddha. Now today Thun Nam and his wife and family offered to be the sponsors of this katina. They have great devotion and great respect for the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, which comes from many years, from a country, from Cambodia itself, where the whole culture is steeped in the ideals of the Lord Buddha, where the whole society is really based, or was based at that previous time, on the ideals of the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Then we call this a katina of unity, where the Thun Nam and his family sponsored the katina and actually offered the cloth, the robe cloth, to be made up into a robe this afternoon to be given to Lungpa Jan this evening at another ceremony that the bhikkhus perform in which we officially present the cloth, the robe that is now being made this afternoon and will be given as Sangha Kamma, or an act of the Sangha, to Lungpa Jan. Now everybody has contributed to this katina in so many ways, and just the cooperation, the helping with work, with last week people would come and help sweep the leaves, clean up, order this, cut the grass, all kinds of things. Sweeping the leaves in a windstorm is quite an experience, and fortunately the weather has been fairly pleasant and mild, and we haven't had to at least endure cold weather. This vasa, we've had the great fortune of having Lungpa Jan, Thananjan Jan, who is one of my teachers. When I lived in Thailand, I spent a vasa with Lungpa Jan in his monastery. He has a branch monastery of Thananjan Cha in the same province of Ubon Ratchathani in northeast Thailand. And this is something that I think all of us, speaking for all the bhikkhus, the Sila Dharas, the people that have been here during this Vasa, what a great honor and how much we appreciate having Lungpa Jan here with us, because he has been a really good example, an impeccable monk, and one who takes a great deal of interest and gives a lot of support, a lot of inspiration to us all. And this, I think at least I appreciate very, very much. We feel always a sense of gratitude to our teachers, so that our Lungpa Cha at this time is not able to come to England due to his illness, in which he is quite incapacitated. And many's the time that I have thought, oh, I wish I could show Lungpa Cha this, or oh, I wish I could take Lungpa Cha here, or take Lungpa Cha there. Because Lungpa Cha was one who took a great deal of interest in the teaching of the Dhamma and gave tremendous amount of love and compassion to us all, and had great confidence in our efforts here in UK. He was so enthusiastic about UK and went back to Thailand and really seemed to encourage us in our life here in England. And our life here in England has been quite a charmed life, I must admit. Our presence, the support we get, the places that we've been able to establish, like here at Amravati and Chithurst and Harnham in Northumberland and Devon, the one in Switzerland, and then Tanbiradhammo in New Zealand, Ajahn Chakro in Western Australia, and it goes on and on. We could keep establishing more and more, except we're running out of monks. So one time, Lungpa Cha told me himself, he said, it's easy to build a monastery, but really difficult to build a monk. And I know exactly what he means. We get praised for building monasteries. Get lots of money and build a really kind of super-duper architectural wonder here at Amravati, with marble buildings and walkways and paths and pools and fountains and golden Buddha rupas and landscape gardens and waterfalls and all the rest. Everybody would say, isn't that wonderful what Ajahn Sumedho has been able to accomplish? Look at this fantastic place. But where are the monks? Buried under the marble slabs, maybe. So the important thing now is to really, we're at a point in our life here in England. This is the 13th year of 13th Vasa in England. So I'm actually more English as a monk than I am Thai. I have more vasas in England than I do in Thailand. But the important thing now is the training of monks and nuns, so that they get the really proper training and the teaching and the opportunities to develop, to build that path, to develop and cultivate that eightfold path that will free them, and then will be of great benefit to all the rest of us. Because an enlightened and free human being is a great gift to the whole world. Even just one is the highest, greatest gift to all sentient beings. And even though monks, bhikkhus, and nuns, we're not supposed to go around thinking of ourselves in any way at all as being capable or incapable or attaining or non-attaining. The way of cultivation is to let go identity with anything at all. So then this is a very arduous practice, because the tendency of the human mind is to always try to find yourself, to name yourself, to be somebody, to attain something or other. To be somebody who spent 10 years as a monk or a nun, and then we've attained something. But imagine spending 25 years in the Sangha and not being anyone at all. And the worldly values, that sounds, what a waste of time. But as an actual experience, it is the experience of freedom and happiness. Because when you don't have to be anyone or become anything, then you can be truly with life, the whole flow and truth of life as is. And this is the whole purpose of the Buddha's teaching, was to encourage the human mind to free itself from bondage, from wrong views, from prejudices, from opinions. A katina ceremony is always like a great offering to the Sangha, because not only the requisites are offered, things that are needed for the monastery and money and so forth offered to the monastery to help support it or repair it or build things. But it represents a custom that was established by the Lord Buddha himself. It's beyond just a Cambodian or Thai or Sri Lankan ceremony. It is something that finds its roots way back in India, 2,533 years ago, when the Buddha established the katina allowance. Now this is a season after the rainy season where the monks spend what they call, the vata means the rainy season, and this vata here in England, it hardly rained at all. But we still call it the rainy season. And this is in the tradition of English culture, because since I've been in England, I realize seldom is anything named for what it really is, like New College is the oldest college or whatever. Great Gaddesden is smaller than Little Gaddesden. Chiswick is in both Hampshire and in West Sussex. You're not quite sure exactly which county it's in. It's because the postal code is Hampshire, Petersfield, but it's actually in West Sussex. And so we're living here in England, we're used to things not being exactly in line with what they're called. Now, katina ceremony, that's the name of the season after the vasa, a month from the full moon of October till the full moon of November, is the katina season. So all the Theravadan monasteries, anyway, in Britain are having their katina festivals. And every Buddhist monastery in Britain that's Theravada wants to have their katina festivals on Sunday. So we get invitations to all the katina festivals, but we can't go to any because we have all our katina festivals on the days that everyone else is having them. So this is unfortunate indeed that we can't, because the katina ceremonies can be on any day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday during the katina month. But due to the conditions in this country where everybody is free, usually free to come on a Sunday, we have them on a Sunday. So next Sunday, the katina is up at Harnham in Northumberland. That's a growing, rapidly growing Buddhist center in the north. And then on the 5th is the katina at Chithurst in West Sussex, Hampshire. And then the week after that is a almsgiving ceremony in Devon at the Devon Vihar. And then we're going to take Lungpa Jan over to Switzerland for the katina or almsgiving ceremony in Switzerland. So didn't realize in Thailand we go to katinas because in Thailand they don't have them just on Sundays. They have them one right after another, and there are about 80 branch monasteries. So you get completely worn out by the end of the katina month here. But what is very moving about it is that how many people respond and come to listen to the Dhamma, to offer the requisites to the Sangha, all the auspiciousness and good things that happen on an occasion like this. Just going in with our alms bowl into that, what we call the morning room, that room there where all the food was, it was incredible. It's enormous piles of food everywhere. All delicious, and it's where usually I just hold my bowl out and somebody drops the food in. I don't have to think about it. Faced with infinite variety of scrumptious choices. It's interesting to watch your to watch your mind when you're faced with tables and tables of delicious food that you can choose from. So you try to kind of just do it as fast as possible. Because we've determined with this custom to take only what we need and to eat everything that we take. So knowing that is our determination, then we make sure that we don't take too much because it's horrible to eat too much. We've instituted this way of eating because the other way was getting beyond our control, where we'd end up with a heart being staggering back to the place we were eating with a really heavy alms bowl of food that we could never possibly eat. So this way, all the food is given to the Sangha. All the food that is brought here by anyone, no matter what great quantity or small, is received by the Sangha properly. And so then that is to say, it gives you the assurance that it has been properly accepted and appreciated and with gratitude from the Sangha. One feels now that the Amravati is doing very well. It's this past year we had that kind of last year we were feeling a bit unsure because there seemed to be so many problems, unsureties, things that haven't been resolved properly. But in a year's time, all that has dissolved, and we find ourselves in a very stable situation. And this monastery is growing. The amount of interest in it, people coming, taking retreats or offering donas or attending workshops, whatever. There's so many opportunities in a monastery like this for almost anyone who has any interest at all in Buddhism. And that's a very reassuring thing to know that Amravati is truly wanted. It's a center that people want. It's horrible to think that you have to keep it going by kind of forcing the issue by a one-man show, trying to keep it going when nobody really wants it. But because people find that this monastery, Amravati, is of great use and inspiration and help in so many ways to so many people, that its needs, its basic the necessities for running it and that are now, say, adequately supplied. Over the next few years, we can develop projects in which we can we would like to refurbish and rebuild the Dharma Hall, which is the building adjacent to this one on the right. And that Dharma Hall was the school's auditorium, and it's a bit of a mess right now. We haven't done anything to it. We've been here 5 years, and it wasn't in very good condition 5 years ago. So 5 years later, it's even in worse condition. But we intend to, over the next year, rebuild and enlarge that hall and make it into a proper Dharma hall for puja and for meditation. So that it would be a place that would be for quiet meditation, for doing a place that one would go to be quiet, to meditate. And then this room here, this building here, is very ideal, very appropriate for the social needs, social functions of Amaravati Buddhist Center. I want to express my appreciation for all those who've helped on this Katina ceremony. And of course, all of you who have prepared food, have spent your time devoting yourself to making delicious food to feed the Sangha, and you have so much food, there's enough to feed the 5,000 or the 500 or whatever. And then Thun Nam and his family and the Cambodian community and all the Thai, Sri Lankan and Lao communities that join in, that are always eager to come to these Katina festivals, plus the Buddhist societies in Britain, from Bedford, from London, from Hampstead, from all over the place. We find people coming here to help and to enjoy this Katina ceremony. We've had Yom Patern and his wife, Wantana, who've come and make coffee every single year, run the coffee shop. So that I want to acknowledge as something great offering that they do without, we now just take it for granted. We don't even have to ask them because they're always there. This is what I so loved about living in Asia. I think in my life in Thailand was something that I really appreciated. I went to Thailand in 1966 after being in the Peace Corps in Malaysia for 2 years. Went to Thailand because I was a Buddhist and I was very keen on studying and practicing. I wanted to find a teacher, because I'd read so many books, and I couldn't stand the idea of reading another book on Buddhism. I wanted to actually practice it. I've been inspired long enough by all these wonderful books. Nothing wrong with the books, but there's just a limit to what one can do with inspiration. And that inspiration was what really encouraged me to seek some way of putting those teachings of the Buddha into a practical lifestyle. And that's what the Bhikkhu life offered me in Thailand, was that they provided me with the occasion, all the requisites, all that's necessary to live as a Buddhist monk, supported by the society. Even the Thai government, the Thai immigration service, came through with all kinds of help. Once they find out you're interested in Buddhism, all the doors open up wide, and you're no longer an American tourist with money. You're really a respected person who who is treated with the highest and most generous hospitality. Because the life of a Buddhist monk is a very beautiful way to live. Now, I know how it must look to people, the idea of being a Buddhist ascetic, shaving your head, being celibate, and eating one meal a day, and and having to live by a whole system of rules and conformity to this and that, and you can't do this and you can't do that. And it sounds, to most people, like a dry desert. Isn't it a desert, a place where there's no water? Everything dries up. Because to most people, life is very much seeking happiness and having pleasures and distractions and dancing and singing and doing what you want, free to go anywhere you want to go and have money and have all kinds of interesting relationships and affairs and romances and adventures and excitements. And you give up the whole lot when you're a bhikkhu. Well, that was my intention anyway, but bhikkhu life is actually more exciting than I want it to be. In England, it's been one kind of excitement after another. But it's all right. It's perfectly all right. It wasn't quite what I was expecting, but it's all right. Life as a monk is where you're moving away from seeking distraction in the objective realms. You're moving through meditation and through mindfulness to realize, to know very directly the true nature of your mind, the still, clear, bright intelligence of the mind that's always here and now, always present, but is not noticed, is not recognized because of all the attachments, habits that human beings have through all the conditioning process that they go through when they're born to the present time. Now, all of us were born, when we were born, our minds were unconditioned minds. Like a baby's mind, a newly born baby doesn't have any thoughts in it, doesn't think, doesn't have any attachments. Its mind is the mind is influenced by the physical body of a baby, yes. So when it's hungry, it cries, and when it's happy, it smiles, and things like that. That's not greed, hatred, or delusion at all. That's just the natural effect of a baby's body and the mental and the consciousness and the expression of that through its form. But then over the years, we become very conditioned through our family, our parents, our culture, education, ethnic background, experience of life through all kinds of fashions, trends that we happen to be living through in our lifetime from the time we're born to the present. This tends to condition our mind. We tend to become fixed with a view of ourselves, a view of the world, a view of our country, a view of our religion, a view of our friends and enemies, and all this becomes very rigid if it's never really, say, looked at and seen for what it is. Because once you actually see the conditioning process for what it is, you let go of it, because meditation isn't another kind of conditioning. Proper or right meditation isn't another kind of conditioning at all. It's not a brainwashing, unless you consider brainwashing a kind of purification. You could say it is brainwashing because it purifies your brain. But it's not brainwashing in the sense of conditioning the mind to think in false and unwholesome way. The right meditation, then, is a liberation through the mind in which all the attachments, the conditions, the blind attachments to the conditions of one's mind are seen for what they are, recognized, and relinquished. And what remains in the relinquishment and the end of attachment is the true purity and bliss and true intelligence of the mind itself, which is not anybody's mind. It began to change your whole way of looking at life. where say the conditioned way of looking is my mind is in here. Or Westerners, we think our mind is our brain, don't we? We tend to, if you ask a Western person usually where their mind is, they point up to their brain. In Asia, they consider the mind and the heart because they recognize your feeling life more. Life is more of a feeling than an idea in your head. So in Thailand, if you say, where's the mind, they point to their hearts. But neither are quite right, actually. Because the body itself is in the mind. The mind is, everything is mind-made. The mind is the leader. And this the Buddha was the expounder of this truth, to recognize the true nature of mind, to be free from the ideas and habits and views that the mind is mine, that I am what I think I am, that I am all the conditions of my mind. So here at Amravati, our purpose is to keep investigating this until we see it and know it so perfectly we never forget it. Because we forget it. Even though during a retreat and all that, many of the monks and nuns will have very clear insights into this, they easily forget it. They get back into, say, out of the less demanding situations of a quiet retreat into, say, back into monastic life where there's more kind of work projects and routine that they have to join in. So that but the idea of the Buddha wasn't to make us hermits or rusis or to go off and live isolated so that we don't have to get involved in any distractions of the society. But the Bhikkhu Sangha was established in such a way that it is dependent and always has to relate to the lay community. Our life is to always be dependent upon the lay community. Now this is very interesting reflection, to recognize the Buddha established a way of dependence rather than independence. Now I was brought up in one of those nice American middle class families where you're supposed to be independent, and dependency is kind of a failure. If you're a dependent person, that means you are weak and a failure and of not much worth. Because the ideal was to be a totally independent person. Then monastic life is all based on dependencies. That's interesting, because you have to really look at that and recognize that that's the natural way of things in nature. Everything is dependent. It's just the natural way of the conditioned realm. Everything is a system of dependencies. That's the natural law. There's nothing, there's no condition that is independent. That dependency is with a natural flow of life. But then if we think I am dependent and I shouldn't be, or I want to be independent, that whole way of thinking, it comes from the conditioning process of our mind. So we hold to views of being independent and resisting anything that smacks of dependency. And yet, when we begin to understand the natural law, the true way of things, we begin to abide in the flow of the Dhamma, the natural way of life, the way of being, in the flow and movement, conscious and aware and feeling, receptive and free from delusion, is the great perfection of our human state. This human state, this human life, with all its problems, ups and downs, difficulties, is also the way out of suffering. Now, that was hard to believe me, because one thing I've never had any problem about with Buddhist teaching was the teaching of suffering. I always found the conditioned realm and being a person, having to become somebody, having to attain something, always having to compare myself with others, competing and feeling like a failure half the time and feeling jealous and envious and frightened and anxious and worried. I thought, what a terrible way to have to spend a lifetime. This is a bad joke, isn't it? When I was a disillusioned Christian, I used to curse God. I think, you really did a bad job of creating this world. Because it just seems it's clumsy, it's pointless, doesn't mean anything, it's suffering. And what's the purpose? What's the point of it anyway? And so that one, a disillusioned Christian tends to turn turn toward bitterness as a reaction to the idea that life is something else. Because we do recognize that in this very sensitive form that we're born into is all the potential for misery and suffering, isn't it? At any time, we can easily get sick. We can be hurt, injured, be hit by a car. House can catch on fire. We have an earthquake. We have a volcano, volcanic eruption, cyclone, hurricane, tornado, flood, bombing. All these are possible. Then the possibilities of Martians, Venusians and Jupiterians coming, and who knows, from where else, now that vast outer expanse of mystery and wonder we call the universe is all kinds of possibilities for horrible misery and pain that we can we can imagine, because the very nature of our human bodies is a painful kind of body anyway, isn't it? It's very hard to keep it comfortable for very long, as you're beginning to realize right now. How long can you sit? I remember we used to have sitting marathons when I was a young monk in Thailand, the Western bhikkhus, because we're so competitive, Western men, we're so competitive that we can't do anything without competing with each other, even meditation. So that we then, who's going to give in first, kind of? Who's the weak one here? You sit there, your knees about ready to give out in excruciating agony, but determined not to be the first one. It's a good way to ruin your knees, by the way. In Thailand, I remember having to sit, because in Thai monasteries, they sit for hours and hours. And you're supposed to sit in a very kind of prescribed posture, and you're not supposed to move very much. And you're supposed to look all the time like you're completely calm and happy. So you're trying to have this perfect poise and presence, and your mind is going berserk. Inside that angelic, I hope it looked angelic, I was trying anyway, was all kinds of devilish thoughts and demonic emotions. Because just sitting still is difficult, isn't it? Or standing or walking, lying down too much. Just the aging process, we all have to get old, and then the stiffness and all the problems that come with age, and then the diseases that we inevitably get. With children, you think they get chicken pox, measles, whooping cough, scarlet fever. This is from my generation. Who knows what they get now? There's all kinds of new diseases around, and with leukemia and AIDS and all kinds of opportunities for suffering. But it's this very suffering that keeps us from attaching to this realm, this material realm. If we could really be happy in this realm, if we could really find a continuous kind of happiness and security in this realm, we wouldn't try to get out of it. We would try to establish ourselves in this realm for as long as we can. But because this realm of human birth and sensory consciousness and material world, it is so unsatisfactory to us that we end up longing and aspiring towards, say, the divine or the transcendental, or all different ways of words that one can use to point to an intuitive feeling in the human heart that we aren't just animals bound to the earth, that our ability, our longing for eternal life or freedom or liberation or salvation or whatever way you want to put it, whatever words you want to use, what they really mean in the long run is freedom from delusion, from birth and death, the true nature of things, the true Dhamma, freedom from all suffering, from all delusion. And the Buddha was the great teacher, which is really quite impressive, 2,500 years ago, established the teaching which actually allows us to realize this perfection while still alive within these very imperfect, very painful, uncomfortable, heavy human bodies. That we don't have to just believe that it's going to happen, something nice might happen when we die, but we can actually, through understanding and wise reflection and right meditation, realize the true nature of mind here and now, right now. This is the most wonderful teaching that any human being has ever produced. That's my opinion. It's a teaching which is based on universal truth. So that's why this hall is mixed with all different nationalities from all over the world. We're not here to study Indian religion or Cambodian ceremonies or Sri Lankan recipes or anything.